Paranormal Truth and Reality with host Chris Houston. A show for those with a passion for the paranormal. And now, welcome to the show.
Welcome to Paranormal Truth and Reality. I'm your host, Christopher Houston, and we're here with Dean McMurray, the military medium. He's an internationally acclaimed psychic medium healer, works with dowsing rods. He's an ordained minister, and he's got an incredible story to tell us today. Welcome, Dean.
Thanks, Chris. Appreciate you having me on.
That's what we're here for, definitely. So tell us a little bit about... I guess we should just start from the beginning. What got you into the paranormal in the first place?
Well, it's interesting as I kind of share, a lot of people say, you know, how did you get started or what started everything off? And, you know, I grew up in northern Minnesota, just a normal small town kid. Grew up in a little town called International Falls, Minnesota, for those of you that know that area. And then went off and served in the military, joined the regular army. And after 14 and a half years, after my last tour in Afghanistan, decided to get out and then came over to the Army National Guard and worked my last 10 years full time with them here in the great state of North Dakota. The reason I share that is because at that period of time, I was not open to psychics and I wasn't open to mediums. Or healers or anything really of that matter. And it wasn't until my last 3 years of military service. And at that time I was married. I had, my daughter was very young and, I went off and did a year in Kosovo. It was right before I was looking at retiring. And when I returned from my year deployment, I had a lot of paranormal activity start happening in my home. And I'm sure your story is full, or your show is full of stories like this. But for me, the paranormal activity was clocks and pictures started flying off the wall, kind of like a poltergeist type of situation. Hmm. And my wife had confided in me when I was in Kosovo that she had been seeing a local psychic and saying, I've had the home doused. She's done some readings for me, and she probably thought I was, thinking she was going crazy. And basically, I called this lady, this local psychic, the voodoo chick, just jokingly, because quite honestly, that's the space that I was in. I was, not accepting of. I was very skeptical. And of course, when all this paranormal activity started happening, of course, the first words out of my mouth were, "Marilyn, get a hold of the voodoo chick. There's some weird crap going on, right?" And the first person that you kind of put down is the first person I'm reaching out to, because I just didn't know what the heck was going on. And she came over, quite honestly, told me that my grandfather was there with me, and kind of looked at her sideways, thinking, "Oh my God, this lady has been sniffing some of her own essential oils or sage." And I was like, what's my grandfather here for? And she said, "Well, he's here to support you after your deployment." And I'm thinking, oh my God, the worst thing about Kosovo is if they ran out of coffee, right? And it wasn't that tough. And I said, "Well, where was Grandpa after Afghanistan? Where was he after Bosnia? Where was he?" I'm going down my list of deployments. And she said, "Well, I don't know that, but I know that he's here now." And I just wasn't in a space at that time to receive a message, especially from him. And I completely missed the message that he was trying to give to me. Fast forward a couple weeks and things were not quieting down. In fact, they were only getting louder. And I was washing bottles around midnight. And my son, who was a newborn, he was what we quote unquote call him our deployment baby. Everybody was in bed, my son, my daughter, my wife. And I was up about midnight washing bottles. And I just had a knowing that washed over me that my grandmother was with me. And I was like, how the heck do I know that this is grandma? And, you know, my grandmother passed back in the 80s, so I was rather young, and I kept on going, well, I don't know how it's grand. You know, I'm having this conversation in my head thinking, oh my God, this is really how people tend to get on some good meds, or they really go crazy. And, but I back and forth between my head and my heart going, well, I just know that it's grandma. I don't know how I know, but I know. And that claircognizance piece, right? And so I went to bed that evening knowing that she was with me, and kind of, I started talking to her one way and, hey, you know, love you and all that. And, but I call it my drunk friend, and that's my ego. My drunk friend is always trying to talk the game of logic and trying to put things in a different perspective. And my ego kind of said to me, you know what, this is all BS. You're just making it up. If she's really here, why don't she disprove it? And as soon as those words left my head, she turned the room absolutely ice cold. It would be like walking out in the middle of winter. You know, Chris, I know, being down in your neck of the woods, I know that, you know, it probably gets cold in January, February, and it's quite literally like walking out in the middle of that. So she quite honestly had my attention at that point. And I was like, holy crap, you know, what, you know, it, you know, kind of scaring me a little bit. And then, but again, it was my ego picked back up and said, you know what? You know, this could be a lot of things. It could be the windows open. It could be a ton of things. Why don't you just touch me? If you're really here, let's just get it over with. And why don't you just touch me? And again, as soon as I thought those words, it was a gentle yet firm pressure, as I describe it, that from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet. And it was quite honestly pushing me into the bed where my body became heavier than the mattress, and where I could hear the springs compress, you know, beneath me, and I could feel the bed, you know, sink as well, or myself sink into the bed. And, you know, obviously, if she didn't have my attention by then, you know, nothing would have helped. But it was almost like that six-year-old little boy in me, because she had the holy bejesus scared right out of me, and it was like, all right, Grandma, love you. See you soon. And as soon as I said that, it was like, boom, like a snap of the fingers, everything returned to normal like it never happened. And I was like, of course, I'm sitting up in bed, out of breath, light coat of sweat on me, going, holy crap, did that really just happen? Did that, you know, was that, did that really, you know, did I just experience that, or was it a dream? And I'm waking up my wife, and who never sleeps deep. And I said, you need to wake up. There's a spirit in the house. And she's like, how do you know that? And I said, exactly. You need to get a hold of the voodoo chick and have her come over. And of course, my wife had a good laugh at that at 2 o'clock in the morning. She said, go back to bed. It's like 2:30. And so of course, I think I ended up staying up all night watching TV because I was just kind of quite literally freaked out. And fast forward some time, and because things were continually getting, how should I say, noisier or more active. And I went to a class of this gal, this voodoo chick, as I refer to her. And I got to premise that by saying, you know, I went on to take classes from her, and we're good friends to this day. And, you know, by no means does she actually practice voodoo, but that was just my words for her back then. But she, I did take some classes from her, and you know, I walked away with a deeper understanding going, holy crap, you know, there's some bigger things that I just don't understand, or, you know, or just starting to. And she called me a medium, and I said, I think you're full of it. And she said, you know what, you're probably right, but that doesn't change anything. You're still a medium. And I really went on a journey of trying to figure out what being a medium meant other than the book answer. And, you know, and of course I started consuming everything that I could read. I, you know, watching a lot of stuff, and I was like, trying to figure out what being a medium meant for Dean McMurray, not James Van Prague or somebody else. And so, you know, it started that journey, and I ended up taking a course in mediumship, a course in dowsing that you mentioned. You know, one door leads to another, and you whether learn a different modality or pick up a, you know, becoming ordained or whatever the case was. And I really didn't know. A lot of times I didn't feel like I knew what the heck I was doing because I was just going with the flow. And little did I know that the universe was having me on almost like a scavenger hunt, in a sense of acquiring skills and tools that I would use along my journey and to help others, and as well as myself and my family. But the thing that I would share is that, you know, that that early day when my, or that day that my grandmother came to visit me, that really was my awakening to catapult me forward. And, you know, I quite, and you got to understand, I was in my last 3 years of military service, and I was looking at retiring with 24, which I did retire at 24 years of military service. I was going to work for the VA. And, but that's been 5 years now, and I've been retired. And, I've been doing this full time ever since that I've retired. So certainly far, far and away a cry from, you know, a far cry from what I was doing. Completely different worlds, but the thing that, not only helping veterans and their families, but also everybody else in between, and really connecting and helping people heal one connection at a time. So, and of course, with that, does that include paranormal, you know, dealing with, you know, whether they're students that went on to start their own paranormal investigation teams that led to, I just did one recently where we did a, here in the state, that we did a joint investigation. A lady actually thought that her, oh, that she had some nasty spirits, if you will, some, and we went in, and really it was really her father that was trying to get a hold of her, and they were just being very persistent spirits. She had some, what I would call generalized, you know, spirits hanging out as well, but we cleared those out. But really most what was going on for her was her dad trying to come through for her. So not only that was brought through in the logical investigative style form through, you know, the Connect system and all that and the EVPs, but also in the mediumship form. So that'll be a fun one too. The full video will be fun to listen to once that's finally edited. And then of course, other issues like whether, you know, clients feeling that they're dealing with possessions or other, you know, could also be like aliens or, you know, extraterrestrial stuff. So really, my work doesn't just take me going to a bereaved mother or grandmother or whomever wanting to connect to somebody. Is it could be really anything. And really, that's the way that I try to, you know, stay open to any way that the universe wants me to serve in any capacity.
You know, you actually mentioned a couple of things that are very, very interesting. One of them is you're not alone, by the way. When you first get into the paranormal, I think a lot of us are skeptics. In fact, if it wasn't for my personal situation, I would have been a skeptic going in. Sure. After about 23 years of experience, I'm a skeptic on some things and I'm wide open on other things. But that's just because you learn the ins and outs of the field. And the other thing that you just mentioned was my train of thought just moved a little bit. Dean, I apologize for that.
That's okay. That's okay.
You know, the uniqueness, I guess, I just spoke a little bit about this week about the paranormal. A lot of people assume the paranormal is all about connecting with your loved ones, ghosts, spirits. Right. Yep. And reality is it's a phenomenal world. It touches bases on amazing things that you just run across throughout the years. I think I've seen, gosh, I can't even count them on my fingers, hundreds of things that have touched base in the paranormal at one point or another.
Well, absolutely. And I, And I think it would be a very narrow viewpoint if you're looking through glasses that, you know, and sometimes we only know what, you know, sometimes we don't know what we don't know. And, you know, when we hear paranormal, of course, exactly like you said, Chris, is, you know, if somebody says paranormal, they think ghost investigation teams, TV shows, you know, conjurings of that, medium psychics, those kind of things. But absolutely is, you know, it's really phenomena that is, you know, outside the norm, you know, and, you know, doing the investigation of, or, you know, looking more into or trying to bring validation and or evidential, you know, bringing that evidence forward of something or whatever it is. And so it is really truly fascinating because, like you shared, it can go anywhere, whether you're talking about extraterrestrial stuff, UFO stuff, it can, you know, and of course we haven't even touched on cryptid, you know, and the other aspect. There's so many different nuances within it. That it's the field is vast and it's multifaceted, you know, and it's so it's interesting, and really I think any one of us is truly just scratching the surface because there are so many facets to it, if that makes sense.
Oh no, it makes perfect sense to me. Of course, I've always been I don't have the ability to be the medium side of things, although I do believe and I have seen and communicated with things that I can't explain from time to time. It's not something that comes to me on a regular basis. I have spent many, many years in the investigation, research, history, scientific world, and it goes way beyond what most people think on the television shows. You know, a lot of people today, they see the TV shows, and I know that's where we all start when we're doing our research a lot of times, but they end it there, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Right. Well, and that's, you know, and that's a great point to saying that, you know, and I would really challenge folks is that if they start poking around, you know, in that realm, you know, really asking them really to really truly ask yourself, well, you know, really, what is your intent by wanting to do it, first of all? And, you know, just really asking yourself why, you know, and does it stem out of interest or, hey, that looked pretty cool or whatever? And because the only thing that I'm going to share, and this is not, you know, to be ominous or anything, but be careful what you wish for, because you probably found this, Chris, is a lot of times when you start going down a rabbit hole, you can't unknow stuff. And, you know, sometimes it's just like, you know, your life seems to get more complicated just because of the things that you learn. And it really challenges other aspects of your life. I'm not saying that it's a bad thing. And in fact, I believe it enriches your life in a certain aspect. But what I'm saying is really a lot of people go into whether it's paranormal investigation or psychic development or mediumship, really kind of, you know, kind of just lackadaisical in a sense, and saying, you know, really, what is your true intent by doing it? You know, and a lot of people, there's a lot of people that in the psychic or the mediumship sense of they're maybe trying to deal with grief or they're trying to, and which is very common. And there's certainly nothing wrong with that. But then there are folks that are, you know, maybe wanting to, you know, instant fame because all they're seeing is the TV stuff. Mm-hmm. And saying, really, what is their intent? And saying, it's not about, it's really not about the fame. It's not about the glitz and the glamour. There's something deeper behind it. But the thing that I would continually ask somebody is what is somebody's intent behind doing what they're doing? Because there is a level of caution behind any of it, because it can be a challenging journey in itself. And it's, you know, a lot of times when you start pulling on that thread, it's like, oh, crap, what did I do now? It's like, oh, Lord. And sometimes it can be quite honestly, and it's not a bad thing, but sometimes it can be addicting. You know, it's like, oh my God, I got to go to all the expos now, or oh my goodness, I got to get some more equipment, or, you know, I have a lot of friends in the investigation realm, and they're like, oh my God, I think I spend my whole paycheck on, you know, buying equipment or.
That's what I like to call the bug when you first get into the paranormal. And we all have had that, especially if you're in the investigation, and listeners, just so that you know, when you very first, especially if you don't know a lot about it or if you haven't had the time to really dig into the history, the research, the science, the metaphysical, every end of it, when you first get into the ghost hunting aspect of it, you get what I like to call the bug. And it's exciting. It's something new. You see some things out there that you can't explain, though I can explain them a lot of times because a lot of it is logically explained. You go, I got to do this again, and then I got to do this again. Then you buy the new gadgets, and you buy the new gadgets, and you just kind of keep going and going and going and going. Once you get past all of it, though, it's a very fascinating world. It's extraordinary. You meet some wonderful people. You do learn that you have to present some caution, because I perfectly agree with you. You get into it long enough, and somewhere along the line, you're going to cross that barrier, I guess you could say. You're going to run across that, okay, this is real.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, and because, when you pull on those threads, something's going to, and I'm not saying it's not a warning. It's just, you know, be aware of what you're doing. And if that's, you know, and if that's a direction you want to go, by all means, do it, but do it, educate yourself, make sure, you know, and that's the same. You talked about getting the bug. I think that's, I like that word because, you know, I've seen the same for, you know, developing, you know, in the psychic or mediumship realm. You know, you start receiving messages, or you start giving it, and you kind of get an excitement because people validate. And you're learning, and it's exciting. Excuse me. And the thing that I would share is that with that is, it's almost in a sense, we don't continually get gadgets, but at the same time, it's like where you want to develop it even more. And it's like, you know, what else is there? And, you know, what else can it do? Or what else can I do? And so that piece is exciting, at least. And so I completely understand with you and empathize with that.
But it becomes a massive bug. For me, the bug in the end wasn't the technology. I ended up spending a lot of time behind the scenes and speaking to a lot of people and learning a lot of science and a lot of interesting things. And then all of a sudden it became that bug. It became the paranormal is such a wonderful place. I had people like yourself that were mediums and was working in the more metaphysical side of things kind of come up and say, hey, you know, have you ever thought about this? Have you been in tune with this? Have you studied this religion? Have you studied this belief? Have you studied that? So I started digging into every book I could on everything, going to college universities. And I still do it today. I talk about it on a regular basis, but we're not really talking about me here. I apologize. We got off.
No, and that's part of the dialogue though. And I think that you bring up a great, great thing about it, but you know, I think that's a great reminder, Chris, if somebody's interested in it or whatever it is, you know, by all means, dig into it and educate yourself. That's a lot of people go into things haphazardly and then get up their eyeballs deep in something going, I don't know what I was getting into. And, you know, and saying, you know, we have to take a personal responsibility for what we're doing. The other piece is that I would share in a caveat with that. Is for anybody speaking more on the mediumship and psychic side, as you know, a lot of people say, well, Dean, I don't have the money to invest right now in maybe like a mediumship class or something like that. And saying, here's the deal. Reading is the most number one readily available resource. And guess what? It's the cheapest because you have to check your local public library, but I know that I checked here in my area, and it actually had some books by James Van Praagh. So there may be a limited, selection, but I would challenge you to go even look and see if there's anything talking about anything like that. And obviously, if you have connection to the internet, I mean, the world's your oyster now. But you really have to discern for yourself what you're reading. Take it with a grain of salt, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I encourage that even on any end of the paranormal, whether you're studying, whether you're studying Bigfoot, whether you're studying UFOs, whether you're studying geology, whether you're studying archaeology and you're fascinated with the conspiracies of science, it all narrows down in the end that before you go diving in, because some of this is not that expensive. Some of this can be very, very expensive, mm-hmm. but it all starts in educating yourself.
Right.
That's the key.
And I would really share is, depending on where you want to take it, when you're looking at price, and I'll just say this one time about price, if you're looking at, you know, you're going to have to discern for yourself what you want and what you want to obviously spend in classes or materials, whatever, that's up to you personally. But the thing is that discern for yourself what feels right, and then also look at it as an investment in yourself, in your development. And somebody put it to me a great way, saying, you know, people pay thousands of dollars per semester for a college class, right? And books, hundreds of dollars. And saying a lot of people, when they talk about paranormal development or psychic or mediumship development, when something's $100 or more, you know, they kind of squirm, that dollar sign raises. And saying, you know, if you look in a sense of this is a different level of, you know, education, I know there are metaphysical universities out there, and saying, you know, you can take courses in just about anything. But the thing is that, you know, look at it as an investment in your education. And really discern for yourself what feels right. Again, I'll say that, what feels right to you, not what somebody else tells you, but you discern for yourself. So,
that's a very valid point to actually bring up, because the paranormal touches base on so many different types of education that you can apply that not only to the paranormal, but you can apply that to your life. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of my biggest arguments through social media is the term, there is no expert. And I do agree that there are no experts in life itself, because you have to learn, you have to develop. And then, right. of course, even if you're a specialist or a professional in your career, that doesn't mean you know the next guy, because right. you may know audio, but heck, shoot, I don't know anything about psychic. I know nothing about being a psychic medium or anything about mediumship. Mm-hmm. So you're constantly learning. You still learn to develop your skills, your education level, and you can apply that to your own life.
Absolutely.
As well. Mm-hmm. And in a lot of ways, it becomes a career and it becomes a part of your life. And a lot of people, they kind of sway on that. I don't think they understand that a lot of times. I'm going to take a brief pause, everybody, just so that we can get a little bit of our sponsors in. First off, you're listening to BBS Radio, Paranormal Truth and Reality, and we are on with Dean McMurray. I'm losing my voice here. I apologize. I've got a bit of a cold, listeners, so if I run into a little bit of a pause, that's why. I apologize up front. BBS Radio is the largest digital radio station here in the United States of America. If you're going to do a podcast, a radio station, or otherwise, I do encourage you to go with the best. First contact Donald. He'll take very, very good care of you. We are going to be Team Rat, as well as Generation Truth and Paranormal Truth and Reality, is going to be at Octagon Hall tomorrow. We're hoping there in Kentucky we actually get some activity. We're going to be putting out some new devices for GhostSite.com and doing some testing before we launch the site fully. GhostSite.com is going to be your leading area for affordable equipment, as opposed to spending $300, $800, $900, and $2,000. You'd be really surprised at what you're going to find. So make sure you stay tuned and you keep an eye on GhostSite.com, because there's a lot of very interesting things coming out there. We're going to jump straight back into the show a little bit here, Dean. Let's talk a little bit about the mediumship aspect. I know we've talked about a little bit of everything else, but I ask a lot of people that are mediums on the show, because I don't have the particular gift, even though I think everybody to a sense can speak to ghosts if they choose to mm-hmm. want to speak to you. How do they appear when you get in contact with them?
Sure. So the way that I describe it, Chris, is that they, you know, 99% of the time, they show up in my mind's eye. You know, and so where I see them, just like if I was standing in front of you and I would give a description of that person, sometimes I'm shown video clips. Other times I, you know, I get scents and smells and tastes and all the, you know, senses like you would if I was standing in somebody's kitchen or living room. And so where I can use my tactile senses, you know, or taste whiskey that somebody used to drink or whatever the case is, you know, and it, so that's how they show up. Sometimes, for example, I use one example. I was doing Paracon last year, a Shooting Star Casino in Monoma, Minnesota, and it was a featured medium for the gallery there, and beautiful group, 400 to 500 folks in attendance, and there was a gentleman that stepped forward in spirit, and he had said that he hand-selected air crew for the Enola Gray, if you're familiar with the World War II aircraft that dropped one of the atomic bombs. Mm-hmm. So, and I was like, wow, that's real specific. So I brought that up. I said, you know, who can recognize or validate this older gentleman, and told him who, what he did and the description of who I'm seeing. And this lady rose her hand, and here it's, you know, it turns out that, because I was shown like pictures of a beef, you know, a aircraft at the time. And I was like, okay. And, you know, air crew and such. And so he did show me some photos or real-time footage, if you will. So do I get a lot of different, do they show up from time to time differently? Absolutely. But the thing is that typically I get it more as in my mind's eye. And also when I hear them, it also 99% is in my mind's eye. Now there's a, like a one, sometimes 2%, you know, that they manifest out, you know, where they'll manifest physically in front of me or where I'll physically hear them, like, you know, we're talking to each other now. But the majority of the time it's all in my, you know, I always say, I'm just saying what the voices in my head tell me to say. And quite honestly, in a sense, that is the truth, because it's more, it's all in my head, so to speak. It's, you know, I don't hear it outside of me the majority of the time, if that makes sense to you. It's what a lot would call, of course, there's a lot of different titles for different types of mediums, right? So mm-hmm. there's mental mediumship, there's trance mediumship, there's physical mediums, there's medical mediums, there's, and you know, I really hate labels because it paints and puts people in a box. Because you know, I do some, you know, I've been told that I've done some. Are you familiar with the term transfiguration?
I'm familiar with the term. I know it goes under several other terms as
right.
well.
So for those of the listeners that are not familiar with that, is basically the channeler or the medium that is bringing for or connecting to the spirit. Basically, is where the it is actually a physical change, and some claim it is the energy or the ectoplasm, but where they physically see a physical change of the individual's face, and where they try to manifest through the channeler's energy, and in a sense, and that's kind of a rudimentary explanation of that. Somebody might have a better one, but basically, the premise was, you know, it's happened a few times for myself. It's been, you know, so.
But to give you an idea, listeners, transfiguration, the original terminology, and it's been adapted to mediumship, psychic mediumship, and to the paranormal quite a lot. It originally appears as a description, biblical, actually. They talk about it in Christ's appearance with a radiant glory. He kind of comes up to three disciples in several verses, and then they started to call it transfiguration, which basically is a complete change of form and appearance into a more spiritual state. I guess that's the easiest way to explain
okay.
it.
Okay, sure. There you go. And basically, it's happened a couple times to me. So one of the things, you know, does that make me a physical or, you know, not that I consider myself that, you know, I really, I've had experiences in not all of the, you know, areas, but, for some, you know, and, so it's really interesting. And I, of course, I'm always open to different things. We've had, we've also had a, experience of the, what they call a ports, if I'm pronouncing it correctly. Basically, what an apport is a spontaneous physical manifestation of an object or something by the spirit realm. So I'll just use an example. So prior to a reading, maybe you have a table with nothing on it. And then after the reading, all of a sudden, we'll just say a quarter appears, okay? Something that, you know, obviously there couldn't be any manipulation by, you know, trying to con somebody in a sense. And that actually happened to us, my wife and I, believe it or not, with a Christmas tree angel ornament in our home, believe it or not. It was the craziest thing. I'll share real quick. Actually, it was about 2-3 years ago, and I had come home, and I ordered out of the corner of my eye, I could see that spirit was in our home. I kept on seeing spirit dart around, and I was like, you know, by that time it was pretty normal, and I was like, okay, yeah, I see ya. And my wife and my kids weren't home yet, and it was kind of the rule that whoever's home first, you know, you get supper going. And so I do that. You do the normal, you know, nine to, or whatever, you do the normal life stuff and you get supper going and we get the kids fed and we do the normal evening routine and the kids go off to bed. And it wasn't until the evening, and this is like in a November, because we already had the Christmas tree up, and there was a kid. He was, I don't know, about 12 years old or so. And he was in spirit and he was showing up. And, I said, you know, you got a kid here that, you know, showing up. And she was like, yeah, I've been feeling him for quite a while. She was like, what does he want? And I was like, oh, well, and I started describing him to her and my wife started just crying. And I was like, what, you know, and I was like, oh my God, what is going on? And she goes, I know who it is. And here was a childhood friend that had committed suicide at the young age of 12. And he had shot himself, sadly. And anyways, it really hit her hard at a young age. And of course, her friends. And he, you know, he was just saying that he would miss Christmases and all this and replaying memories and all this. And he goes, I like your angel. And I was like, what angel? And we didn't even have an angel on top of the tree. It was just a star. And so where our tree was against the banister, kind of wedged in there in a sense. And so I had to get in between back in the corner. And here was a little clear plastic. It was no more than maybe 4 to 6 inches tall. It was a plastic clear angel that was playing a harp. Now, I don't know about you, Chris, but, you know, not that I know every single ornament but that I hang on my tree, but most of them, I'm pretty familiar with them. Like, oh, we bought that one when we went on this trip and the kids made this. And, you know, you're kind of vaguely familiar. And I was like, and I took it off the tree and I said, I asked my wife, I said, when did you buy this one? And she goes, let me see that. And she goes, I don't remember ever seeing that. And here, this angel ornament just miraculously appeared on the tree. And nobody had been over. Nope. We had just set up the tree not long before. The kids, we knew that the kid, you know, we've been watching the kids, so we knew that nobody was messing with it. You know, I tried to rule everything out too. And I was like, well, that is just crazy. And I said, but I feel that it's not ours. And she was like, well, whose is it? Well, my wife that I was sharing that, you know, she had some childhood friends that were really touched by the suicide as well. Her one childhood friend now lives an hour north of where we live. And him and his wife subsequently, a little backstory, lost two children during childbirth. And of course, to say the very least, it was very traumatic for both of them. They had a tough time with it, but subsequently, they went on to have very two healthy and normal children, okay, a boy and a girl. Well, every year, the hospital in their area does a memorial around getting close to that November, December time frame and all that about for all the children that have passed, right? They do a memorial deal. And they, you know, it was a big deal for them to go because it meant a lot. Well, their two kids that they now have had a school musical or recital, and they couldn't go, and they were really bummed. Well, we delayed in sending that angel out, and my wife was really mad at me because she found it on the table, and she was like, "What do you mean you haven't mailed this?" And I was like, "You know, I just forgot." And of course, you know, wife and husband spat, and you know, get your butt down to the post office right now and mail this type deal. And so I did that. And so it was delayed in getting sent out. Well, when they got home that evening, guess what was waiting for them at their door? Was this package with this angel in it. Hmm. And she got an email about a week later and saying, "Oh my God, you'll never know how much that package meant to us because we were so emotionally distraught. And even though we were guilty about saying, you know, we really want to be at the hospital for this memorial, but yet we want to be here for our kids, and we felt torn. And when we showed up at home, here's this package from you, and here it had an angel in it with a note that simply read, from a friend in spirit, and, you know, love Marilyn, my wife." And they said it was, and I said, And I looked at my wife and when she read the email, and I said, "That's the kind of stuff that's why we do what we do." And I said, "You just got one of those stories that I got, you know, every time I tell it, I feel the goosebumps." And it's like you can't get the divine timing of things or orders of that is this, like, you know. And then, of course, I joke with her saying, "Hey, I was just listening to the divine order of, I wasn't supposed to send it." And she, I think she flipped me off, but she did it with a smile. you know, she's like, "Oh, you're full of it," you know? And I was like, "Yeah, I kind of am." But I said, but at the same time, I said, "That is so cool because, you know, just really talking about the divine timing of things and that we truly are part of a bigger picture. If we just really open ourselves up and listen, even if we don't understand what we're doing, you know," and talking about sending out this angel and where it just shows up. But, you know, so that was an report that we had that showed up for somebody else. There's so many other cool stories, but, you know, the thing is that, you know, each and every day is just, you know, some days we kind of look at people that walk into our house and we're like, "Welcome to the circus," because, you know, our home, you know, married with two kids and a dog, you think of a very typical American family, but at the same time, then when you're connecting to spirit and it's almost sometimes like a, you know, like a subway station for spirit and saying, sometimes it can get very busy on top of, "Oh, by the way, you know, my daughter has volleyball tonight or dance recital or you know, whatever, choir, whatever." And just like every other kid in America. And so the parents are pulling their hair out trying to figure out schedules. But on top of that, then you're dealing with the paranormal stuff and, you know, juggling whether it's, you know, clients and readings or, you know, "Oh, who's here in spirit," you know, and it's like trying to figure out, you know, why is there a grandma here trying to get my attention, or why is there a gentleman sitting in front of me smoking a cigar, blowing smoke in my face, you know? So it's always interesting that, You know, and most of the answers are saying, oh, I got a reading tomorrow, or, you know, and saying, I feel that it's, you know, showing up for the client. So it's always something interesting. There isn't one day that is the same, and every day is something different. I never know what tomorrow is going to bring. And it's
you actually mentioned something that's very, very interesting that I've been talking about a lot with people, because we tend to get wrapped up into our lives sometimes. But you used a term that, you know, in a lot of ways, everything is connected. Yep. Now, that is incredibly true, but I don't think people take the time to stop and realize that a lot of times, including myself. I'm a very busy person with marketing and business. Yep. I just released myself from a lot of business situations because of that, and it freed up a bunch of things with me opening up and realizing something that I was taught a long time ago. I just kind of lost it spending some time with the Native American tribes, speaking to Buddhists and so forth. But they all tend to tell you the same thing, you know. Everything, whether it be nature, yourself, people that have passed on, everything is connected in one way, shape, or form.
Yes.
You just have to take that time to stop, and this is a proverbial quote, by the way, everybody, but you're going to hear it, stop and smell the roses.
Yes. and I think we hear, you know, I think we hear things sometimes too much, and it loses its meaning for some, and because that term, stop and smell the roses. How many times have you probably heard that? You know, hundreds, thousands, you know, depending, from movies to radio to TV and or other people just in passing. But I think we tend to lose the meaning behind everything because we truly make things more complicated. Because you talk about studying with Native Americans and Buddhists and other cultures, and you know, I would really, you know, I'm sure that you found, Chris, is that these other cultures, you know, one thing that they have that, you know, a lot of people struggle to catch up to figure out is they figured out their life is by their design. And we make it as complicated or as simple as we need it or want it to be. And, you know, we're the masters of our reality, right? And so the thing is that if they simplify things, then it there in turn makes your reality much simpler. But the thing is, you know, if you're not taking time for the simple things, you know, the bigger things are going to slip by. And it's really trying to find, you know, trying to be present now, not 5 minutes from now, but right now. And that's a trick. And I get it, too, even doing this full time, this is what I do, and talking about it, I get it. It's a challenge because we are, in my belief, that spiritual being having that human experience and, you know, wearing this meat suit, as I call it, and we deal with life. We're on this planet, and you know, we can be as far removed or closely connected as we want to be, but I think some awesome things really open up for us when we start realizing how connected everything is. You talked about
that. Oh, absolutely. It's human nature to worry, to think about what's going to happen, to always strive for something more. Sometimes in that human nature, we tend to forget we can let go of a lot of that. And the moment you do and you start looking around, ironically, very opportunist things come, you're happier with your life. I've let go of amazing amounts of things that I had forgotten I could do in the past 2 or 3 months, and I'm living a happy life now. I'm enjoying my life. There are opportunities coming. There's a lot of amazing things out there. I think a lot of people actually should spend more time concentrating on the smallest and the simplest things and realizing that, you know, life really isn't that bad. Sometimes we create our own, excuse the term when I say this, listeners, but sometimes we create our own hell.
We do. I'm a firm believer in that, sometimes we don't have control over what happens to us, but I'm a firm believer in we have control over how we react or show up to
Absolutely.
Those situations. And, you know, and it's how we want to, how we're choosing to show up for the day or the moment. And, you know, and I'll use this analogy right before we move on here to the next subject. But, you know, think of this is, you know, I think everybody can connect to the wonderment of a child. If you've never held a little child's hand and walked with them outside, when they stop every 1 or 2 feet and look at a rock or a leaf or whatever in wonderment or amazement, because everything's new to them, right? And they're learning, they're like, oh, cool, or maybe they can't speak yet, but they're looking at this and going, oh my God, this is so cool. That's wonderment. And so I kind of use that analogy of saying, you know, if we can walk in that moment of gratitude and amazement and go, cool. And, you know, whether you're writing, we talked about having that bug, right? The paranormal bug and that buzz, you know, because that's the excitement and joy and gratitude, and because those all hold high vibrational frequencies. And so when we're in those states, that's, you know, and we're like, we're playing, we're creative, and that's a beautiful space to be in, and things tend to flow there. And that's a awesome place to be. So, but yeah, and I, so
actually down to about our last 5 minutes, and I didn't mean to interrupt you there because it's been a wonderful conversation, Dean, but let's talk about where the listeners can find you. So if they have any questions, they can kind of search you out a little bit.
Absolutely. So if they want to connect with me, they can head over to my website at www.themilitarymedium.com or at www.deanmcmurray.com. And it has all my contact information. You can send me an email. You can book a reading, all that. Or you can check me out on Facebook at Dean McMurray, or sorry, Psychic Medium Dean McMurray, the Military Medium on Facebook. Twitter, military_medium, and LinkedIn, the Military Medium, and then also YouTube, the Military Medium. So you can check out all that stuff. And of course, that's, I believe there's links to all that right off my website as well. But I'm pretty responsive to any questions, or if you're looking for anything, it can certainly help. But, and then of course, there's events and upcoming things as well, if you're in the area or in areas that I'll be. So,
and listeners, will be posting some of that through the Facebook page. You can look me up at Paranormal Truth and Reality. My name is Christopher Houston. I know most of you listening probably have already looked me up at one point or another. You can also look up Paranormal Truth and Reality. The new website is behind, but everything will be updated here in the next couple of months, along with the links to Generation Truth and so forth. And we will repost this on Monday or Tuesday throughout the Facebook location so that you can actually see that. You can always re-listen every week on BBS.com, obviously. Next week, just so that you're aware, we have another exciting guest. I do want you to tune in this weekend. We are going to be doing some lives at location at Octagon Hall through Rat Paranormal. They'll also be on my page and some of the team pages. I won't give away a lot of things, but it will still be interesting. We'll be introducing ourselves and so forth. You've been listening, obviously, as you noticed, to Dean McMurray. He's a well-known medium called the Military Medium. I do encourage you to actually look at his pages. We will actually end the show as we do every single week. As you're noticing from listening to tonight, the paranormal is a phenomenally interesting place to go. It's a wonderful thing for people to listen to, and I do encourage you to take the time to not only do your research, but seek out people like Dean and people that are educated in different fields. Learn for yourself. Educate yourself. Decide which avenue you want to go. You're going to find some things have already been found, logically concluded, and so forth, and you're also going to find a very wonderful world of people that will open your eyes to some amazing things. With that said, we'll actually leave you. I want you to enjoy your weekend. Tune in next week as, of course, Paranormal Truth and Reality will have another wonderful guest on, and we'll talk to you soon.